On today's episode of Watch Time, we'll be talking with Belle Mercurio, Engage Cleveland's Marketing and Communications Manager. We'll be discussing nonprofit marketing and where you should be spending your time right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everybody. So we're here with Belle Mercurio from Engage Cleveland. She's the Marketing and Communications Manager. Belle, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm excited to talk with you today about nonprofit marketing. We've been working with Engage Cleveland for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just fascinating to me because I feel like ways that like maybe B2C companies and B2B companies, it's all different marketing from nonprofit. There's like small tweaks and things, but prior to jumping into that, mm-hmm. why don't you give us a little bit about your background? And then after that, maybe you can kind of let our viewers know if they don't know what Engage Cleveland is.
Sure, yeah. So I am I like to say Clevelander for life. I really loved the mission of Engage Cleveland, which really drew me to the organization. But I started off my career journey at BW. I graduated with arts management and entrepreneurship as my major, but that's just glorified nonprofit management. It was really great to have such a great arts community in Cleveland, mm-hmm. so we at the program at BW utilized that to our advantage. So I was really started off in the arts, but I focused in on nonprofit management and fell into marketing. It was a really great way for me to still be creative because I've always been an artist ever mm-hmm. since I was little. So I knew I wanted to be creative in some way and also really help drive the missions of these organizations. I feel like that's what's nice about nonprofit work. Mm-hmm. You know, you're also in it, not just for your work, but you're in it for the mission of the organization. Yeah. But I started off at Beck Center for the Arts. That's in Lakewood. I was their digital marketing strategist while I was still in school and then left. And then I graduated December 2019. Boom, pandemic happened. So I was really struggling, trying to hone in on my skills, try to find that like right path for me. And I fell into actually working with an old student friend from mm-hmm. BW as her kind of internal operations, but also project manager, very client-oriented marketing. Mm-hmm. It was really great project management skills. And then I found myself back in the arts with the Morgan Conservatory there in Midtown, and I was their marketing and communications manager. And then I found my way to EC, still bringing kind of, you know, a sponge, bringing everything with me from all of these past experiences. Yeah. And really, this has been such a great challenge. It's been the most I've had to manage on my own, which is really cool. We get to do so many fun things and exciting partners. But yeah, so EC, a little mm-hmm. bit more about Engage Cleveland. That mm-hmm. was a little bit about me.
Yeah.
Engage Cleveland is a community engagement organization where our mission is to attract, engage, and retain emerging early to mid-career professionals to the Cleveland area. So we do that by working with that audience. We mm-hmm. have a really great leadership council associate board that we work with very frequently. We also just have honed in on this audience that we provide professional development, networking, events. Mm-hmm. We have a mentorship program. So all things to help them grow to hopefully mm-hmm. get that next job. But then we also work with the employers to then connect that audience to these jobs because we found that a lot of what people, young people want, you know, is a stable mm-hmm. job. You know, and we wanted to be the one to help connect that to them. So that was a little bit of how EC is, what we do.
Yeah, no, that was great. I first off, I didn't know that you went to BW. So like right down the road from where we're at right now. and second, I think it's really cool your background working for, you know, working with the Beck Center and then just working in the arts in general and mm-hmm. then going to Engage Cleveland. I don't know. I feel like when I think about the arts, I always feel like it's always like they're an amazing, like the arts are amazing, but I always feel like they always have lack of budget mm-hmm. to do stuff. So it's like, you probably learn to be like really like scrappy and mm-hmm. do things like on a shoestring budget and then going to Engage, like you had probably a little bit more budget, a little more to mm-hmm. work with, which is awesome. So I feel like it's like you already kind of learn how to do things lean and then you get a chance to actually have a little bit of help to do things a little bit more.
Exactly. And I really like that you use the word scrappy because mm-hmm. I also use the word scrappy when I think about it. It was really like boots to the ground marketing and just really learning to do a lot with a little. Mm-hmm. So, and that you can take with you, and I have, you mm-hmm. know, to every job. Because, and that's what's not, it's similar about all nonprofits is arguably they all have smaller budgets than those corporate companies that you think of. Mm-hmm. So we're always kind of we need a leg up. And, you know, just being scrappy, being resourceful mm-hmm. Has always been very helpful.
Yeah. And I guess going off of that, just thinking about, because we were talking earlier about audience, like, I guess in this situation, like, whether it be Engage, whether it be like the Beck Center, you know, whatever it may be, like, when you're looking at this from the perspective of how to get the most out of your marketing dollars, like, how important is understanding your audience to mm-hmm. that? And then what process have you guys gone through, whether it be through Engage or even your own process, to like try and identify who that audience is?
Sure. And exactly that. So we don't have those big budgets. So mm-hmm. we don't have those 5 paid ads to run on every single audience group that we work mm-hmm. with. And it's nice to have a series of ways to find out who that audience is. Mm-hmm. And when I came to Engage, we were really clear on who we wanted to serve, which I also think is a factor. Mm-hmm. All of the platforms nowadays, LinkedIn, Facebook, Meta, mm-hmm. they all have really great analytics tools that we utilize mm-hmm. Because they're free. Mm-hmm. And we, again, like that's, we utilize what we have. And once we know that audience, then we can tailor maybe 2 or 3 specific ads to that audience. And it like that dollar amount goes 10 times farther once mm-hmm. we already know that information. And the best and the worst of social media, you can reach a lot of audiences, but it's something that's ever changing. Mm-hmm. So we've at Engage, it's really important for me in my role to always be checking on that. It's something mm-hmm. I do monthly to stay finger on the pulse of what's going on with that audience. And what we found is they're different. They're different for each platform. And while that's great, it's also, you know, we have to be a little bit more strategic because we want to reach and engage with all of these different audiences in the right way.
Yeah, no, that's awesome to hear. And this makes sense because I feel like, and I've talked about this on the podcast before with other guests, and I feel like there's a lot of companies out there that are like, we are for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like mm-hmm. you guys obviously like, even in your mission statement, really you hone in on like, no, we're not for everyone. We're for these specific groups of people because we're trying to, you know, whether it be attract, engage, retain,
right.
You're trying to, for young professionals.
Right.
And I think it's great that you guys kind of have identified that on social media platforms because I do think it makes your marketing dollars go further. But I think more importantly, and I mean, tell me what you've seen, but I think it just makes it so people are less confused because they know who it's for.
Agreed. And I think that's why we've been so successful in engaging that audience and having really that finger on the pulse of what the emerging professional wants. But what's also really great is that we don't ID at the door. We mm-hmm. encourage all to come because we find value in consistent learning no matter mm-hmm. what age range you identify mm-hmm. as. But we've also then identified those gaps. So one of the, it's in its third year this year, mid-career professional development series. Mm-hmm. So it's not for that fresh out of college, first job individual. That's for someone with 10 to maybe even 20 years of experience, wanting to go after leadership positions, wanting to go after maybe becoming a mentor, challenging themselves in a different way. Mm-hmm. But we heard from our audience that was, you know, we need something like this. And we wanted to be the one to then craft and this program that is so specific to that audience. I mean, it's similar to what you said. Mm-hmm. It's very specific to a certain audience. Mm-hmm. And we know that audience very well.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is a great example of, I've talked about this as well. Like we've always talked with other guests about how when you hone in on who it is you're trying to talk to, you know, the big fear with, I feel like, especially in corporate America with B2B is like, everyone's like, oh, if we hone in on this one person, like we're segmenting people and mm-hmm. then we're going to lose business. And I think you guys are a great example of you've identified who it is you're trying to serve. You're putting out that messaging, but you're getting everybody in between mm-hmm. and people are very clear on, you know, what it is you guys do and how they can engage with you, no pun intended. And I think it's great because like even like for your Generation Next awards that, mm-hmm. that we've been to and whatnot and helped you guys out with, there's a lot of just age ranges there. And I mean, mm-hmm. now granted, like you guys are like you guys are definitely like you know, as people won awards, so they're coming out. But I mean, I think the nominations themselves, mm-hmm. like, it speaks to not only like the fact that you guys are serving everybody and like right. that your targeted marketing message is hitting everybody, mm-hmm. But it also speaks to the fact that you guys have really established yourself in the Cleveland area, where I think people like really know who you are and who it is you're there for.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think we like to think it, so. You know, like that's a celebration of what we do. Yeah. And specifically with Generation Next, it's so great. We have Young Professional of the Year Award, but then we also honor a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
So we've got both ends of the spectrum that we're trying to honor and work with. And we know that working with this audience, mm-hmm. and which is why we developed an employer membership program. We knew from our audience that this was something that they wanted, a secure mm-hmm. job in Cleveland, if not now, in the future. So now we know that working with these HR professionals, these executives, these executive directors of mm-hmm. nonprofits, that it's just as important as that relationship with that emerging professional.
Yeah.
You know, we want to meet them where they're at.
Yeah, that's awesome. I guess, like, so what I'm trying to do, I definitely, like, I like that we talked, we touched on, like, I guess, like, your audience, we touched on, like, social media. I want to try to keep it higher level, because, like, my goal is for anyone watching, listening, that if you're in the nonprofit sector, like, what are things that can be done within the marketing? Not so much tactics as much as it is, like, these are the areas to focus on. So one of the things I want to hit on is, you know, we talked about strategic partnerships. So how mm-hmm. do you guys leverage strategic partnerships? And, like, what does it look like for maybe a nonprofit that's, like, how do I, you know, like, who should I be partnering with? How do I do
right.
that?
Right. Yeah. And I will say, coming to Engage Cleveland, we do that very well. And I don't think that a lot of nonprofits mm-hmm. know how to go about starting a partnership or starting mm-hmm. building those relationships, because it's really that, right? It's really just a relationship with another organization, yeah. a positive one, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we, again, use these partnerships to further our mission, but also use them strategically because we do have that smaller marketing mm-hmm. budget. We do need our dollars to go farther. Mm-hmm. So we look for partners that not only we want to work with in the professional space, whether that be for a venue or a video partnership mm-hmm. In that way. We want to look at who is going to be helpful to us to mm-hmm. further that mission of attracting that next generation of young professionals, emerging professionals. So we really look at it wholesomely. Mm-hmm. We have media partnerships. We have event partnerships. We have single event partnerships. We have mm-hmm. year-long partnerships. We have multi-year partnerships. Mm-hmm. So all of that is an option mm-hmm. to be worked out we always like to frame it as it's a working relationship. It's not like a set, like this is what we demand or anything. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, we'll send you a first draft. You make your edits. You send it back. It's very, what's that word? Collaborative. It's a very collaborative process.
Yeah, yeah.
So we work with them with individuals. Mm-hmm. So it's like small partnerships in terms of the size of the organization mm-hmm. or the company. And we also have a partnership with like schools. John Carroll is one of them that we have a multi-year partnership with. So it's always great to do that research. And I think as marketing mm-hmm. professionals, we're already in tune mm-hmm. to do that research, that analytical based research on our audiences. We know where they are. We know where what they want. So we then craft those partnerships on how to best serve them.
Yeah, that makes sense. And honestly, it just, to me, it goes back to your, like, once again, like, I just feel like I'm beating the audience drum, but it goes back to your audience because mm-hmm. when you guys know who it is that's coming to your events, who it is you're targeting, who you guys can specifically go to these organizations and say, hey, if you partner with us, like, this is why it's a benefit. It helps us further our mission. It gets your name out there. But also, like, this is who's actually coming, you know? So
right.
I think, like, if it's a venue partnership, like, if they're mm-hmm. wanting to get more young professionals through their door and say this event is geared towards young professionals, that's a great opportunity. You mm-hmm. know, I know, like,
exactly.
I think that just makes sense to, like, understanding who it is your audience is mm-hmm. and, like, how you can, like, help out these partners is going to be able to bring more partnerships.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Okay. That's
audience is key.
Audience is for sure. Okay. So, like, moving from there, so I guess, like, one thing, and this is not something we discussed, but I'm going to, like, throw it out there because I think this is probably a phenomenal tool for you guys. I just want to touch on like email marketing for you guys. Is that something that you found to be very successful as a nonprofit? And then how do you guys go about, you know, do you have an email marketing plan? And if so, like, how do you go about doing that?
Sure. Email marketing has been really helpful, at least in my time since coming to EC. I think overall, I could say yes. It's a direct way to get our information right into someone's inbox. So that's always a positive tool. What we found is, and what we're actually working on something right now, is honing better in on that audience of who's actually opening our emails, because that's different from opening versus clicks. You know, we want to know how long they've been subscribed. Are they, is it something that's just they've subscribed to and forgot about? MailChimp is the platform that we use. I do recommend, if you have it in your budget, as in whatever organization you're coming from, to invest in tools like that that help you and include analytics for you. MailChimp does a very good job of that. So I'm able to look into this a little bit easier. But we have seen, we've seen dips, and I've seen in even just the past year, like highs and lows of open rates, click rates with our emails. We want to now see a trend upward. So we're trying to work on what's working really well. What are the links that are being clicked? What is, again, that audience engaging with the most? And then tailoring that, maybe tweaking it to target those people a little bit more, so they're more likely to then open that email. Because we send you emails because we find the information valuable, and it is valuable information, but we want to present it in a way that also gets you excited about it and engaged in our work. So, and that changes, you know, we've, again, that's what's great about marketing, is that creative element of always being able to change, stay within your brand, but maybe like tweak some things and always elevate, always bring it up to the next level, your whole marketing strategy, which includes email.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. I guess one thing I just kind of want to throw out there, and I don't know if you guys have looked into this or not, but I just know from other people that I've talked to that are nonprofits, I think what's really cool is some of these tools like MailChimp, maybe even some of the different like social media like suites out there, like posting tools. I've noticed that a lot of them do have like nonprofit rates, so sometimes you get a better deal.
Or no tax, you're tax exempt. Again, we use them all, and we use all of our discounts just to save that extra buck, because we know everything's a little bit frugal, you know, on our end. So it's been great. And I will say, too, that was bringing up social media tools. That's something that we implemented recently, having a social media management platform. And I will say, again, if you have the budget to work in some of these tools that help a small team, because I'm a marketing team of one. We are very collaborative at EC, thankfully. And, you know, it's such a small team. We're all having a little bit of hands in each other's work. And, but it's still, you know, it's still just a small, it's us. So anything to help us out in that way is so, has been so helpful in cutting down the time that I spend on it. Again, that research time when those analytics are already built in, it's been so helpful.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. I feel like people get in this mindset, and I mean, everyone's guilty of it. I know I'm guilty of it, where you're just trying to do things, like to get things done, and you're not thinking about like the fact that there are tools out there that can save you time, that can like make, you know, your role of one be a role of two or three, because there is only so much time in a day that you can actually work with. I guess like going from there, I know we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but you know, for people that are watching, people that are listening, you know, there are different levels of nonprofits. You know, you have this, the small, you know, scrappy nonprofit that maybe is, you know, maybe a one-person nonprofit. You have the, you know, the large nonprofit that has huge budgets because maybe they just have a lot of donors or things like that. I know you guys are kind of like, we were talking about, kind of in the middle of that. But can you talk about maybe things that our listeners or viewers could focus on, like, first off, as a marketing team of one, like what are some areas that you say, hey, I would focus on these? And then after that, we can maybe talk about like things that you guys are focusing on and what somebody that maybe has a role for marketing.
I do think It varies. It varies from your audience, your industry. And what's really great about nonprofits is that it's built into how we became a 501c3 is our mission and who we are trying to serve. Mm-hmm. So that's at the heart of all that we do. And I can speak to that at EC. It's very clear with the team that I work with that serving these individuals and making Cleveland a lasting home for the next generation is thought about, worked into like everything we do. So it's easy to pull from that. Ashley recently said that, and Ashley is our president, but Ashley recently said that, you know, we're not that big nonprofit, but we also don't have that tugs at your heartstrings mission. You know, it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to gather that support in the community, but we do by the value that we add. And we keep very detailed records and do that research to really prove and show, not even prove, showcase the good and the help that we are doing. And I really do think that if it is, I mean, audience is key. Audience, driving home your mission, those work hand in hand because you want your audience to believe and understand your mission. So it's very interwoven. And I do think you want to meet your audience where they're at. So if you know that your audience is really email heavy, then I would spend your days and your time, the only 40 hours you have in your week, making a really good email, has all the links, everything's like perfect. But if you know that they're on social media, specifically Instagram or specifically LinkedIn, because there's so many social media platforms now and you don't have those limited resources, pick those ones where you know your audience is so that you know your time and that dollar is going to go that much farther. And it's not when you grow as an organization, then all those extra little cherries on top, you know, come and you can grow your efforts and again, do more. But when you're starting off so small, you just want to think strategically. And I think that does begin with a little bit more research, a little bit more planning and diving into who those audiences are.
No, that makes perfect sense to me. So I guess the way I kind of see like the way you're putting it and like how you kind of explained it is I see it as being like, if you are, you know, a solo operator of one, like I think I've been guilty of it. I'm sure everyone has. Like, you get so caught up in like the latest social media trend, or I have to be on all the accounts, or I have to do all the things at once because the big companies, they do all the things. But like, I love how you said, like, really it's, you know, focusing on where are people at? How can you get in front of them? And then really just using your time wisely to say, hey, I'm going to go all in on Instagram. Like, I'm going to put out the best Instagram content for my nonprofit because that's where my people are at. Or I'm going to put out the best newsletters because they're going to respond. And maybe it's a little bit of testing, like you're saying and seeing. But like, I do think that that's the thing. It's like, why do three things like half the way when you could do one thing really, really well?
Exactly.
So that's awesome advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, how have you guys seen, like, now that, you know, like the role that you're in, you're kind of, you know, you're the marketing and communications manager, and like, how do you see somebody like that? Like, what do you think like day to day is important to focus your time and effort on?
Yeah. I think that what's good about coming into a position like this where our audience is established, so I can speak to someone maybe that has been at an established nonprofit, is that we don't have to sell people as hard anymore. Like, we've hit 10 years, people know who we are, they see our value, we have over 130 employer members that know us, that spread our mission. So I don't have to spend my time doing that kind of work. Now I am tasked, and that's something that I am, it's goals for the future, 2024, is really positioning us as a thought leader, as the organization you think of when you want to find your next job in Cleveland, or maybe you just want to find the next civic opportunity or place to go to dinner or what's going to be my weekend plans. Like, we want to be that first thought. So that's been my task. And that's really working with the media. We know that that's our next big fish. So we want to be strategic and really elevate where we want to see EC and be that thought leader, not only in talent retention, but just elevating Cleveland's brand. We're, you know, working with the Cleveland Talent Alliance and have come out with a lot of good information about how a first person reference of something is going to, like, if you have a review of a product from your best buddy or your mom, that's going to mean more to you than just like a 5-star Google review.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, we have so many cheerleaders of Cleveland that just need to have their voices be heard. So that is really also a piece of working that into our mission and into the work that I do, and focusing on what is being said about EC as our brand, as what we want to be known as in the community, and the legacy, the impact that we want to leave. I also think it's like thinking a little bit bigger, thinking a little bit more long term. It's not that you're just getting by day to day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about EC next year, what it's going to look like in 2 years, what it's going to look like in 5 years. So, and that does start today. You know, the audience that we have is strong, but we want it to, and it is continuing to grow. So how do we continue to engage the same audience for the next 10 years?
Yeah, I love that. I love it because it's like, it's not, you know, talking about like the smaller nonprofit that is, like, I love how you put that, like, trying to get by day to day versus like now, because of your role and because there are other people that have responsibilities in the organization, it frees you up to really put together that marketing plan and think strategically. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
So kind of wrapping this up just for everyone that's watching, if there were like three pieces of advice or three takeaways that you'd want a viewer to get from this episode, what would that be?
Okay. I definitely think know your audience, and your audience is key. I would really encourage people to do that initial research. I feel like overall in my whole career, that has been so helpful. And that, I mean, that ties into knowing your audience, but just doing that initial research on demographics, when are they online? When and where do they live? You know, like, things, get granular about it.
Yeah.
Do the work now, so then that'll last you. You don't have to continue to do that and waste. Spend your time doing that throughout the year, throughout your time at that role. And I think if I could lend a final piece of advice, it would always be to remember to be resourceful, remember to be scrappy a little bit. You know, if there is a way to do it by yourself or, you know, do it by low means, I encourage you to do that, because then when you do have the opportunity to have a larger budget or, you know, free rein on a project, you can really be strategic about what that will end up looking like and how far that will go.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for coming on.
Yes.
This has been a great conversation.
This is very exciting.
Yeah. So thank you everybody for watching, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.